You are now listening to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for Stardust to Celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Stay up to date at nextonscene.com or follow us on social media at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene. Welcome back to Next on Scene, everybody. It's your host, Jackie Zuck. It's another awesome day for an amazing podcast. Who is next to know about today? Well, I have a really cool story to tell you all, as most of you know who are listeners. I really built my business off of social media, and I'm just all about taking chances. And if there's any advice that I could give this week to you all, it's to take a risk on yourself and reach out to somebody that you wouldn't normally think, because I did that, I got our amazing guest today. So who is next to know about? Matt Heisman. Matt is the host of American Ninja Warrior. He's also a comedian. He's also the latest Celebrity Apprentice. He's doing such amazing stuff. And I had been friends with him on LinkedIn for a while. We were following each other. He had a work anniversary coming up. And I was like, congratulations on your work anniversary. And I was like, you know what? He's freaking awesome. I'm going to reach out to him and see if he'd be interested in being on my podcast. So we had a brief, quick conversation, and he was awesome and super open to conversation, which is so cool. So I'm so honored to have him on our show today. So who is next? Matt Heisman. We're going to have a quick word from our sponsor, and stay tuned for Matt.
Lowe's knows you'll do spring right by saving on what you need to get your lawn and garden in shape. We do it right, too, with deals to help you save every day. Like 4 bags of premium mulch now for just $10. And buy 1 1.5-cubic-foot bag of Miracle-Gro vegetable and herb garden soil. Get a Bonnie Basics plant for free. Whatever's on your spring to-do list, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 5/1 while supplies last. Bonnie offer valid on select 11.8-ounce pots. Valid in-store only. See store for details. U.S. only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
I officially have the amazing Matt Heisman on the line. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Jacqueline. How are you?
Good. Oh, my God. You're so inspiring, doing such amazing stuff. And I'm so honored, as I even said before we started recording, to have you on today. So tell everybody about your amazing background. Like, so you were a doctor, right? I mean, that's originally where you started.
Well, as my dad says, technically, I am still a doctor. Once you get the MD, it never goes away.
So
cool. So I kind of started down a completely different path. Went to medical school and got my MD and was doing residency when I had an epiphany that my heart just wasn't in it, particularly the way it should be. I think medicine's, it's not a job, it's a calling. And I wasn't hearing the call. And so I decided to take some time off, and I'd never done anything creative before. I'd always been an athlete doing school and kind of focused on classes. And I decided to move out to LA and start doing stand-up comedy. And I thought it would be a year, maybe two, kind of, you know, instead of traveling the world or being a ski bum, this would be kind of how I would clear my mind and come to my senses and go back to medicine. But instead, I fell in love with performing, with being on stage. And one thing kind of led to another. I got into commercials. I got into hosting. And now I'm closing in on, it'll be 20 years of September 1st in LA.
Congratulations. That's amazing. That's so, you brought up such an interesting analogy about like how being a doctor is like a calling. It's so interesting you said that. I can totally understand that.
Yeah, I think there are jobs that you can do, just kind of punch in a card and not necessarily have your time card, not have your heart in it. But medicine is an unbelievable responsibility where people place their health and their lives in your hands.
Right.
And it's an awesome responsibility and it's incredible. But what was really hard was when I didn't feel as passionate about it, I didn't feel I could give the patients the level of care that I would want or that they would want or deserved. And so it ended up being this, I was walking around with this horrible burden, kind of feeling like I should be doing this sense of I should be doing a better job and the patients deserve more. And so I was really, it was really a hard position to be in. And that's what kind of prompted me to do a little soul searching and realize I needed to take a break.
So cool. Like it all makes sense. But like, how did you end up in comedy? Like out of all things, I'm fascinated.
Well, I guess I'd done stand up a few times before, just kind of, as a lark, just to blow off steam. But I think growing up, I was a younger brother. I loved when I was in class, I always kind of liked being the center of attention. So it was probably a natural fit that I just didn't realize.
Right.
But I just wanted to do something that was the polar opposite, you know, as far removed from medicine and as possible, just to really stimulate a different part of my brain and see what that unlocked. And I, it really is amazing to think that had I not done that, I never would have discovered what I think I was meant to do and what I certainly feel like I love doing.
Right.
And that's, you know, being a performer. And it's amazing when I look at, I think when most people go through life, it's hard to find what you are really passionate about, because I don't know how often we truly experiment or let ourselves kind of give ourselves permission to try different things and see what we really like. So I feel really lucky that I kind of stumbled into this.
Freaking awesome. So what was like your first, like once you moved to LA, what was your first like hosting gig? Like what was your first gig you ever got? Tell us about that experience.
Well, so the first thing I ever did was I was an extra on the Drew Carey Show.
And that's awesome.
Baseball. So I played baseball in college, and they needed guys who look like kind of ringer softball players. So I got to go in there, and that led me into commercials. The first commercial I ever did was for Pontiac, where I didn't even say a word. I just looked like I was a Secret Service looking guy with glasses on and an earpiece. And didn't say a word, but it paid very well. And the first hosting gig I ended up getting was on E! And it was a Fear Factor type show called Screenplay. And Don't Rack Your Brain, it lasted one season. I think my mom was one of the few people who actually watched it. But that led to a home makeover show called Clean House on the Style Network that went for about 6 years and did over 100 episodes. We did a spinoff show, a behind-the-scenes show that went for about 70, 80 episodes and got a daytime Emmy. And that led to a sports show that led to Ninja Warrior. So the first hosting gig I ever got back in 2004 led to the job I have now on Ninja Warrior. So it's really a good lesson on, you never know where a job's going to come. That first show only lasted a season, but it led to everything else that's kept me working for the past decade and a half.
That's really good advice, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, especially in the field that, you know, acting and doing all that stuff, it's hard to get in, and it's like you just have to keep going after it, you know? It seems like that's good advice.
I think it's really hard. You can have a clear plan, but, you know, in this job, we tend to work when other people allow us to.
Right.
We have to kind of be selected for things. And I think the key is, I certainly think there is value to people who say this, you know, my goal is to be a movie star. I'm not going to accept anything else. Like, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he had tons of roles offered to him, but they were small roles as the thug or the big. And he was like, I'm not going to do a movie unless I'm the lead. The third role he does is Conan the Barbarian. So there's certainly merit to that to that approach.
Right.
But I kind of took a different approach of I said yes to a lot of things, and it was amazing how working begets work. And again, Screenplay only lasted one season, that show on E, but it introduced me to the casting director who got me on the Home Makeover show on the Sister Network Style. And I definitely think there's just something of if you have a talent, showing people there's no better way to show people what you can do than actually getting to do it.
Right.
And so you've got to take some opportunities that may not seem ideal to make connections and to show people what you can do. And I think that for me, that's really been the key to meeting people and getting to showcase people or showcase some skills I had that people might not know. Because I think one of our key jobs, it's not just being good at your job, it's educating people that you're good at your job. So they know what you can do.
Really,
because a lot of people
point.
Have talent in this town, but the hard part is getting people to recognize your talent and want it.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people feel like, hey, I'm great, and people are going to find me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, but there are so many talented people that you really have to do a lot to stand out. And, you know, social media, getting videos, doing things for friends as a favor, and just hoping that, you know, you get to do the right thing at the right time. And that's just the break you needed. And then let your work shine.
Right. When did you say, like, how many years in would you say did your career really start to take off?
You know, it's interesting. I certainly think that when I got on the Home Makeover show and really was working year round, it started to feel, all right, I started to get a sense of this is something I can do, and this is likely going to be sustainable. Before that, I was doing commercials, and I was doing very well, but it was really hard to have momentum because you get a commercial, you work one day, maybe two, and you get a lot of money for it, but it's not, that's it.
Right, it's not sustainable, exactly.
And it's hard to build up momentum.
Right.
And I think it was really different to have a job where this Home Makeover show, we were shooting probably 35, 40 weeks a year.
Wow.
For 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And to be steadily employed, I think there's just a confidence you get as a performer when you're working.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, you don't have that desperation when you go in for an audition. And I think that really goes a long way too, is kind of having the confidence of working, knowing what you're doing, and then also being able to say, this audition, this single audition is not going to make or break me. So I don't feel this undue pressure on myself. So
right.
I don't know. I still think, you know, there's also, this is a very fickle business. So there always has to be a little hunger and a little hustle where you're always looking for the next thing, because as wonderful as something is, everything ends.
Mm-hmm.
In this business, every show comes to an end. And I think you're better preparing and saying, let's not assume that, you know, we've got another 10 years. Let's assume there's 2 years, maybe a year, and start preparing and say, well, what would I do if this went away? What can I do to try to line something else up? And so I think that's kind of one of the fun things, is feeling like there's what's fun, but it is one of those challenges where you feel like there's always more you can be doing.
Right.
And figuring out how you can be most efficient in terms of trying to make connections and line up the next opportunity and still enjoying success when you have it.
Yeah, no, that's honestly, you're so inspiring. Like, super good points here, Matt. I'm loving them. Thank you.
Well, I'm saying it. I don't always practice it. There are certainly times where you feel like, oh my God, what else could I be doing? And then there are other times where you just try to, one of the things that I think, having done medicine and really having seen life or death situations, I feel like I've really had a good perspective on Hollywood since the beginning, and just kind of to periodically remind myself, particularly when I'm doing something that's just a really good experience, to step back and just have a little appreciation for it. Whether it's since I did Celebrity Apprentice and I've gotten to work with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and for a kid who grew up in the 80s watching those movies, I really very often will step back and go, my God, I'm sitting here
next
with
to him.
The guy,
so freaking cool.
Who
yeah.
I used to go to the movies. I had his posters on my bedroom wall, and now I'm hanging out with him. And so just to be able to step back and say, hey, this is a moment. This is something I never would have envisioned as a 16-year-old kid. So let's, you know, take a second to enjoy this.
Freaking awesome. Tell us more about that whole experience with being the Celebrity Apprentice. Like, what goes into all of that? Like, break it down for us a little bit.
So I will say, I've obviously been in reality TV for such a long time, and you kind of get a sense of it, but I've always hosted, and there's such a safety in hosting because I'm not risking anything.
If I
screw up, we can always do another take.
Right.
I'm not the one who's being judged. I'm not the one who's going on a course in front of millions of people. And so it really was such a fundamentally different experience when I first walked on the set and I realized the cameras are on me. I'm the one who's being judged. I'm the one who has people who are gunning for me. And it was intense. It really was. It was an awesome experience. It was visceral. It was exhausting. It was stressful because I knew, listen, there's a great upside here. I'm getting an opportunity to work with some brands and be in front of Arnold Schwarzenegger and show people on NBC a different side of me than on Ninja Warrior.
Right.
But at the same time, I knew my mom's watching, my friends are watching, and the people who run Ninja Warrior are watching. And the last thing the bosses at Ninja said to me right before I went on the show was, people like you don't screw that up.
Oh my God. So that added pressure.
I could have a meltdown and cost myself my job. So it really was, an awesome time. And to get to work with people like Vince Neil or Boy George, Lisa Leslie, Brooke Burke, it was fun. And to really lose yourself in these challenges where I didn't know how it was going to be. And the reality was, you get a challenge, you get some resources, but you have to do the work. And it really was fun to try to be creative and to see, when you're under the gun, how much you can actually accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
If you just say, all right, I've got 12 hours, come up with something, take some photos, edit it, put it out, throw a party together, come up with a brand slogan. And for all these things that we agonize over for ourselves, you realize if you just give yourself a deadline and really put some stakes into it, you can get a lot done.
Right.
And that was, it was an awesome learning experience. And, you know, the show obviously got politicized because of the previous boss.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, it wasn't the ratings hit
right.
that we were hoping for, but in the end I won and I got to raise nearly $1 million for the Arthritis Foundation, which is my charity.
Amazing.
And so that was, it was really nice, obviously kind of feeling like it came full circle, having left medicine to do comedy and then getting a chance to raise $1 million for charity and raise awareness. Felt like, all right, I kind of have my foot back in helping people. So that justifies leaving medical school.
Totally. No, that's freaking amazing. That's so awesome. So how long, like, did they actually film that show for?
It was about 5.5 weeks. And we were going 6 days a week. And it was 12 to 14 hour days.
Oh, my God.
Where you're on camera, you know, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And when you're on camera, you had to keep reminding yourself, you know, all of this is fair game.
Right.
So that was, you know, but it was nice that we'd get to go back to the hotel and have a moment where you could just curse into your pillow.
Right.
And know, all right, this is, I'm not mic'd. All right. And then, you know, just really curse the state of the world at that point.
Whatever. You got it out somewhere. That's all that mattered. Right. So.
Yeah. Well, it gives me a real appreciation for people who come on Ninja Warrior or some of the other shows.
Right.
Just a reminder of, you know, it takes a lot for these people. And I've been in entertainment, obviously, for a long time. I kind of know the deal. And to imagine these people who, you know, on our show, so many of these people are just, they've led a wonderful, normal existence. And now for a night, here they are, you know, competing in front of thousands of people live with millions of people watching at home.
Right.
And I have such an appreciation for people who will put themselves out there to show us all what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Which I think totally relates to, obviously, now I want to talk about American Ninja Warrior. So, like, because I'm so fascinated, too, by the whole setup, like how they even came up with the activities they need to do, like to get from one side to the other.
Yeah.
So, like, what goes into all of that? And, like, how do you as the host, like... Do you ever get emotionally tied if somebody falls and, like, hurts themselves?
Oh,
or
all
like,
of them.
Yeah, exactly.
All of them.
I'm, like, so fascinated,
you know,
by all of that.
This is season 11. It started out as a Japanese game show that's gone on for 35 seasons now
right.
in Japan.
Crazy.
And so initially we took a lot of the obstacles from them. But eventually what's happened is, as our show has grown, we started to see the rise of people not just building obstacles in their backyard, but dedicated ninja gyms popping up all over the country. Now I think there's one in every state.
Amazing.
At least one. And so we've seen these athletes go from just really in shape people to people who are spending year round, who are training for Ninja Warrior. And so we've just seen this exponential growth in their, not just the athletic ability, but the preparedness.
Right.
So our obstacles have gotten so much harder to try to keep up with the athletic ability and the skill sets. So now it's year round where we have a crew, our obstacle crew, who's designing obstacles and trying to come up with things, because the unique thing about Ninja Warrior is men, women, people from 19 to 77, people 4'9" tall to 6'10", people who weigh 80 pounds to 290 pounds, people with one leg, people with cancer. Everyone's competing on the exact same course. And so to try to design obstacles that can challenge people equally and are fair, and it really is an art as much as it is a science. And what's cool is the past couple of years, we've opened it up to the fans. So the fans, we have an obstacle design challenge where people will come up with obstacles. And some of our best obstacles over the past seasons have come from kids. We had one of our best obstacles in Las Vegas in our national finals is the double dipper, this kind of slide with about a 6-foot transfer in the middle where people get launched. An 11-year-old girl drew it with crayons.
What?
And it became one of the coolest obstacles we've ever had. And it was really cool, too, for her to then realize she's influenced the show that she loves. And so now we have American Ninja Warrior Jr., the spinoff show where the finale is this Saturday night on Universal Kids. We now have the kids who watch the show getting to compete. We have people being involved designing obstacles. We have people who've watched the show who now... You know, parents have competed on it. Their children have competed on it. It's just been amazing to see. It really is a show for everyone. It's a family show for the everyday people.
It's so freaking cool. I just love the whole interactive concept, too. Like, I think that makes it, like you were saying, like, anybody can do it. essentially, if they wanted to, which is so awesome.
Yeah, and that's what's really cool for us is we've had people who've competed on every season, 11 seasons now. And so right now, we're headed to Baltimore this weekend to continue shooting season 11. And I'm just watching videos and reading the stories of some of these athletes, some of whom are new and some of whom we're just meeting. And the stories these people have are just
amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Some of the, you know, and how open these people are with some of the challenges they've faced. And I think that's the other thing that the show really does well is showing people, that whatever you're facing in life, someone else is going through the same thing. And when you see someone who's facing what you're facing, be it cystic fibrosis or substance abuse or the loss of a loved one, and you see them overcome it, I think it gives a lot of people hope.
It does.
This show, to see mm-hmm. people overcoming obstacles, not just on the course, but off it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love the analogies, too. It's so true. It works full circle. Amazing.
Yeah. It does. It's been fun for me because... Yeah. So I have rheumatoid arthritis,
mm-hmm.
and we have an athlete on the show who has the same condition I do.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've obviously been very active with it. I've done well, but this guy is showing me you can be a ninja warrior. He's one of our top ninjas on there with the same condition I have, this debilitating autoimmune disease. And so even I realize these athletes are showing me what's possible.
Right. Well, I think that's the point of it. So, like, if they can inspire anybody, just like you were saying earlier, which is amazing.
Yeah, and it's just awesome for us to get to see the story, get to know the person, and then when it airs, to be online and see the outpouring of just that, of
right.
that sense of, hey, thanks. It's so awesome to see someone going through what I'm going through on TV and to see you doing things that I wasn't sure I could do, but now you've given me some confidence. And we see these people, and then we see them, some of them come on the show or some of them contact the athletes, but we've just seen these unbelievable relationships grow. And that's what's cool, having been on a show now that's in its 11th season, is to see that time span.
Right.
And to see these people have their lives changed for the better.
Right. It's so freaking true. And now also you've started your own like YouTube series, right? Warrior Wednesdays.
Yeah. And it really, you know, obviously it was very much in the vein of, I've seen the impact that the stories on Ninja Warrior had. And it came about because, again, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, he had me hosting a strongman competition for him in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, Derek Carver, who was an Army soldier who lost his leg in 2009. And he came out, and so he has no left leg. He had part of his right leg lost. And this guy goes from fighting for his life on the battlefields in Afghanistan to becoming the world's strongest disabled athlete.
Incredible.
And I just heard him tell his story, and he was so matter-of-fact.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so straightforward about, look, you know, this is what life is. You have to embrace it. You can't bemoan your situation. And I wanted to hear more people to hear his story. So he was what really kind of spurred me to start doing this Warrior Wednesdays. And it's just the idea of these everyday people who are facing the challenges life throws all of our ways and doing it well. And the idea is not just to hear their story, but to hear how they've coped. And so
right.
hopefully when people are facing whatever adversity they are, to say, you know, this person's, Derek, you know, one of the things he said is life is poker and it's five-card stud. Stop trying to change your cards and play the hand you're dealt.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, and I just thought it was, you know, all these insights that these people have had. Lauren Byrne, this girl who was, became a quadriplegic when she was 15 and couldn't move a limb. And she, her parents were picking up her arm in front of her, go move your arm. She goes, I can't. And her parents said, no, you can't yet. And she just talked about how that language, that changing her language allowed her to start to see things as a challenge. And now she plays wheelchair rugby.
Incredible.
And so it's really amazing to see these people who've walked the walk, who've gone through some incredible challenges, come out the other side to share their hard-earned lessons. And that's what the whole point of Warrior Wednesdays is.
I love it. Oh, my God. How do you manage time to do this all, Matt?
Well, I will say this week's was a day late because it's hard to schedule everything.
Right.
I think it's again,
you make time for the things you want to.
Oh, I'm really...
Well, I think you make time for the things you really want to do. Yeah, I think
you make time for what's important. And you mm-hmm. also, when you start to say, instead of I have to do something, like I get to do this, I get to tell these amazing stories,
right.
It gets you a little more excited instead of feeling like this is an obligation. And I think, again, it's really, I have so much to learn from all these people who I interact with. And that's one of the kind of humbling things, is when you think you've got life figured out, you realize there's always more
to learn.
And it's amazing what stories and what hard-earned lessons people can share with you that can really make an impact.
Right. So friggin' true. So inspiring, Matt. Okay, so first I want you to tell everybody where they can get in touch with you, and then I want to play a quick game time for like 5 minutes, and then we'll be...
Oh, I love games.
Cool. I figured
well,
you
I
did.
I spend way too much time on social media. It's all Matt Eisenman, M-A-T-T-I-S-E-M-A-N. That's Twitter, Instagram. Look it up on Facebook. That's my page. And LinkedIn. So I'm on there way too much. But and then Ninja Warrior... the finale of Ninja Junior is Saturday on Universal Kids, and the main show starts Wednesday. I think it's May 29th. I'd have to check the calendar, but that's when season 11 kicks off.
Awesome. So exciting. All right, cool. Everybody definitely needs to follow Matt. He's super fun to watch and follow, so definitely do that. All right, Matt, let's play some game time. So there's no time limit. This is just a really fun way for all of our audience to get to know you, okay? So first question, right. What is Matt's favorite TV guilty pleasure?
Oh, well, I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure. I'm still just infatuated with Sherlock on the BBC, Cumberbatch, and Martin Freeman. I think it's just one of the best acted, best written shows on TV, and such a flawed kind of anti-hero character with Sherlock Holmes and even Watson. And I it's just a show I've rewatched probably 10 times.
So obviously that is your guilty pleasure. To rewatch that is definitely a guilty pleasure, I think.
I love it.
That's awesome. Okay. What is Matt's favorite food?
Jeez. I was going to say something healthy, but I have to be honest, chicken fingers. I love a good chicken finger with honey mustard sauce.
Love it.
As I'm speaking, I'm craving it right now.
Oh my God, you're hysterical. I love it. I was going to ask, what is your go-to sauce for your chicken fingers? Because I feel like everybody has like a go-to.
Oh,
so.
Honey mustard.
Yeah.
Honey mustard. I still remember it was in college when I went to a TGI Fridays at Market Fair Mall in Jersey. And I first had honey mustard, and I felt like my world was changed.
That's hysterical. So you just...
Clearly, I'm a gourmet.
Oh, my God.
Eating at TGI Fridays and craving their sauce.
I love it. Oh, my God. Freaking hysterical. Okay, next question. If you could have dinner with anybody, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Wow. There are two. One would be George Washington. I just, you know, as a history major, I think the guy who had the ultimate power of the presidency and who stepped down. I think, you know, just to really have understood what the founding fathers thought, I think historically that'd be great. And the other one would be Brian Regan, who's my stand-up comedy idol, just the guy who, when I drove out here in my U-Haul in 99, I had his CD on Endless Loop. And I've seen his act, shaking his hand, but just to sit down and kind of pick his brain as a performer and as someone who I think that guy has continually, for 20 years, has stayed one of the best stand-up comics in the game. I would love to just kind of see how his mind works.
I love it. What really like two different ends of the spectrum. Pretty fascinating right there, I have to say.
Yeah, right. Well, that's been my life, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So, really interesting. I love it. Okay. Next question. If you could wear one outfit for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Well, I think I'm wearing it. I have these orange plaid shorts on that my mother has threatened to burn. I've had them, I think, for 8 years. And I'm wearing my Arnold Schwarzenegger classic sweatshirt that I got when I was with Arnold that is the most comfortable. And it's also, it's Arnold.
So I
think I'm really lazy when it comes to fashion. I am just wear whatever's comfortable, which my girl, they keep saying, would you just dress nice? You're an adult. Act like an adult. I'm just like, I want to wear pajamas, essentially. That's what I'm comfortable with.
I totally speak your language right there. I totally get it. But I have to say, you're pretty fashion forward. You could be wearing like black shorts. And I mean, the orange plaid seems pretty festive. I just have to give you credit for that.
Well, you know, people think it's a kilt. or they think it's underwear.
That's so funny.
It's fashion forward is being very kind.
I love it. Okay, where is one place that you haven't been yet that you want to go for travel?
Oh my goodness. Alaska. I'm really fascinated with Alaska. I've done so many tropical locations.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of historical locations. I feel like Alaska, I got to drive through the Southwest U.S. and I just thought, when you look at Zion, Bryce, Arches, and Grand Canyon, the unbelievable scenery that's in America, and I feel like Alaska is the last great frontier that I've never experienced, and I would love to see. Probably in the summer, not the winter.
Right, I was
like
going to say that.
But not that cold.
Yeah, hysterical. You know, I ask that question all the time. Nobody has ever said that, so I friggin' love that you brought that up. That's great.
Nobody thinks of Alaska. I feel like Alaska. It's the feather on America's hat. No one
right. No, but it's so different. I love that vibe. But it's right. You have to go there in the summertime or like the winter would just suck. Totally suck. Oh, my God. So funny.
You end up frozen.
Yeah. Seriously. What is something that you have to do in your daily routine?
God. Well, sadly, social media. Checking social media. That's one of the things I wish I didn't do as often as I do. But it's really incredible how that's become kind of my news, a social outlet.
I get it.
I mean, it's such an amalgam where it accounts for so much of my kind of daily experience, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I do. I'd like to say working out, but clearly social media happens every day. Working out does not.
Right. Whatever. No, but that's really, really good. So do you have a go-to that like is your favorite social media platform?
No. You know, I'm kind of torn between Twitter and Instagram. I think Twitter is, you know, text. I feel like I can consume more information,
mm-hmm.
but Insta just feels like it's more relevant right now. Although the kids are probably laughing as they're, you know, on Snapchat or whatever
right.
the latest one is that I haven't even heard of.
Right.
So I kind of feel, you know, it's really, and so much of it is how you curate your experience
right.
or what accounts you're looking at. I think obviously it's just a tool. It's all in how you use it. And, you know, that's one of the things that I struggle with is trying to be as
to balance
as
it all
productive and efficient as possible instead of just the click link of cats playing the piano.
Right. Seriously though, these are really good points. I just like, I feel like being pretty active on social media all the time as well. Twitter I get, but like it just limits the amount you can say. And it's not as visual, I feel like.
And there's something where I don't, you know, as a comedian, I love the efficiency
right.
where you have to choose your words carefully.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's not great for long form communication. It's not great for subtlety or nuance.
Right.
Social media. I mean, anything text-based is so subject to interpretation, which is such a challenge where we all impart our own biases or preconceived notions, and you just read something in your own voice instead of the intended voice. But people are busy. They're listening to music. They're listening to podcasts.
It's true.
So get their eyes.
It's so freaking true. It's like, but that's where you made such a good point. It's like, how can you manage it all? It's just, it is what it is. You got to just do what you can each day.
Yeah.
And that's the best you can do, you know? So
it is. And you get that sense of, my God, it's a full-time job.
Right.
Maintaining a social media presence. And, you know, I'm not very good at, you know, really saying what's the purpose of this? What am I trying to get out of this? So
right.
that's something I definitely could be a lot better with.
Yeah, no, I totally understand it. Well, Matt, you have been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks,
it was
Jacqueline.
Awesome.
I had a blast.
I'm so glad. Well, everybody definitely follow Matt on all his social media channels at Matt Heisman, and stay tuned for the next Ninja Warrior as the junior finale is this weekend. Other than that, follow Matt and stay up to date on all his social media channels. And stay tuned for who's next on scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for startups to celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us today at nextonscene.com or get social with us at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene.
Lowe's knows you'll do spring right by saving on what you need to get your lawn and garden in shape. We do it right, too, with deals to help you save every day. Like 4 bags of premium mulch now for just $10. And buy 1 1.5-cubic-foot bag of Miracle-Gro vegetable and herb garden soil. Get a Bonnie Basics plant for free. Whatever's on your spring to-do list, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 5/1 while supplies last. Bonnie offer valid on select 11.8-ounce pots. Valid in-store only. See store for details. U.S. only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows you'll do spring right by saving on what you need to get your lawn and garden in shape. We do it right, too, with deals to help you save every day. Like 4 bags of premium mulch now for just $10. And buy 1 1.5-cubic-foot bag of Miracle-Gro vegetable and herb garden soil. Get a Bonnie Basics plant for free. Whatever's on your spring to-do list, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 5/1 while supplies last. Bonnie offer valid on select 11.8-ounce pots. Valid in-store only. See store for details. U.S. only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.